Welcome to today's Family Experience, helping your families connect in a world that's tearing families apart. My name is Chuck Hagley. I'm the Executive Director of Project Patch and the host of today's Family Experience. Hey, thanks for taking time to join us today. I know you've got a lot going on as a parent, and I really appreciate you taking some time. Before we get too deep into today's episode, I'd like to give you a hint, just kind of a little bit of a preview to say that if you stay with us until the very end of this episode, I'm going to give you a chance to win a free copy of Michelle Cochette's book, Undone. You've seen us talking about it quite a bit online on our blog and some other things. I believe it's a book that makes a huge impact for parents. It's written as a memoir of a Michelle as she's gone through some pretty tough times. And so we have a book to give away, and I'll give you all the details on how you can win that book. So please stay with us. Exciting way of getting that book, and I know you'll be really encouraged as you read it. You know, I've discovered that one of the easiest ways when I'm preaching to get a bunch of amens and to get a bunch of audience participation, get people really wound up, is if I kind of go after Hollywood. You know, if I start talking about Hollywood and their agenda and all these things that Hollywood's up to, the types of content that they have in their movies, you know, the types of relationships that they're trying to encourage. I mean, it's amazing how easy it is to get a bunch of people riled up. It kind of feels good, actually. get the mob scene going. I mean, people are ready to grab pitchforks and go after them. Same thing for video games, same thing for online. I mean, it's just really easy to get people riled up. And you know, I find myself getting riled up pretty easy when I start looking at Hollywood as an enemy. You know, I think people seem to almost get enjoy... you know, you listen to AM radio on a regular basis and people get pretty fired up. They get angry. They start doing all this stuff. But a lot of that energy really doesn't seem to accomplish too much. You know, at the end of the day, what I'm looking at is how do I protect kids, both my kids and also the kids that we're working through with Project Patch. And as I'm out there in the community teaching on things like pornography, video games, social media, and a bunch of other threats that are hitting families. You know, at the end of the day, my goal isn't to get a bunch of amens or people fired up. My goal is to really do things that make kids safer, to help kids reduce their vulnerabilities. And so as I share this, you know, the tough thing is that it's, you know, as a speaker, as a presenter, it's great to get people fired up and get all the amens and get the crowd response. But at the end of the day, if kids are no safer than they were at the start of the day, what have I accomplished? Or maybe even I've done the opposite of I've actually put kids more at risk because as adults, sometimes when we get angry and fired up, we think we've accomplished something when the reality is all we did was kind of get fired up and not much took place. You know, the other thing I've noticed, especially working with the teens at Project Patch, is that it's really easy to get, is to really lose them. You know, in the sense that if we become overly angry or paranoid or start picking on you know, some sort of content or one of their favorite artists. I mean, it's one of those most futile things is to get into an argument with a kid about, you know, some pop star that they really admire. And you know, you think that person is not someone to emulate and you start getting into this argument and it really doesn't go anywhere. You come across as judgmental and they really kind of put up their defenses. And the other thing is that it really does... you know, backfire a lot of times. I find that it can come across as really hypocritical. You know, I find that I'm pointing out things in someone else's life when the reality is if I, you know, open up my life, I'd probably be struggling with some of those same things. You know, it's easy to get into this blame thinking. You know, I find that there's times that I think, you know, if it wasn't for Hollywood, if it wasn't for internet, if it wasn't for all this other stuff, man, life would be good. There's a book I recently went through. I've heard about it for years, and I finally broke down and got it. It's called QBQ. It's by John Miller. And it really teaches about two different types of questions. John teaches from the background that he's really seen people be either led down a wrong path by the questions we asked or really, really helped by the questions we asked. And so he breaks it down into two different kinds of questions. There's productive questions, and then there's these things called IQs. Or incorrect questions. You know, IQs are typically the easy to ask questions that are really looking at, you know, why isn't my kid being more respectful? You know, why doesn't my spouse understand what I need? Why is it that my boss is such a jerk? When are my kids going to learn how to clean up after themselves? You know, when is Hollywood going to start producing stuff that families really want? You know, some of these sorts of questions that are, you know, pretty probing in the sense that we feel like we're asking a pretty good question. But in the end of the day, what it really is doing is setting us up as a victim. The QBQ, the question behind the question, is really the key that John is teaching, what John Miller is teaching. And it's really getting at a question that encourages personal accountability. There's some rules to it. The first rule is that it has to include the words who or what. And so, you know, some of the questions, why, when, those sorts of questions don't count. So a QBQ has to include who or what. It has to contain the personal pronoun I. You know, so it can't be who's going to change Hollywood. It has to be a question that includes the pronoun I. And then it really has to focus on action. So really who or what, and then I, and then an action. And so instead of, you know, when is my kid going to be more respectful, the question would be, you know, what can I do to help my child learn the power of respect? You know, what can I do? And really the action that you're looking for, the focus. And so the IQ, you know, why is Hollywood trying to destroy families? The QBQ, what can I do to help my kids be less vulnerable to negative things, including the stuff that comes out from Hollywood? And so really, I mean, that sounds like a nuance, and I know you're probably sitting there scratching your head and saying, why is Chuck making such a big deal about the difference between IQ and QBQ? But I think it comes down to is if we ask the wrong questions, and if I, in a organization that's trying to help kids and families, ask the wrong kind of questions, we end up getting the wrong answers also. You know, as in we can figure out why Hollywood has an agenda, but at the end of the day, did that change how we actually protect our kids? Did that change anything? Whereas the question behind the question, you know, what can I do to keep my kids, to help my kids become less vulnerable to negative things? That really calls me to a level of accountability, and it really keeps me focused on my action rather than what Hollywood is doing. You know, another thing is that when we ask the wrong kind of questions, especially when we go after Hollywood and some of these mammoth, faceless groups, we really create some sort of victim thinking. You know, by focusing my attention on blame on Hollywood, it feels like I'm actually accomplishing something. But in reality, you know, I'm just railing against the system. You know, have you noticed that kids can spend hours trying to get out of work? I love watching, you know, just the procrastination that takes place and how they're, you know, they know what they need to do, but instead they do everything else but the thing that'll actually get the job done. You know, and I think as parents, we kind of have the same thing, is that we kind of know that it's going to take something really demanding of us. It might be hard. It might be uncomfortable. We know it's going to take this powerful relationship and time and discussion to really protect our kids from the influences of media. But instead, we kind of spend a bunch of time dawdling around attacking media, trying to get them to go away, rather than doing what's sitting right in front of our face. You know, it may be popular to bash Hollywood, and there's plenty of easy targets, but it doesn't result in our kids getting safer. You know, what's interesting is I look back at history, there's always been some sort of villain, you know, some sort of Hollywood type. I mean, all the way back into ancient times, there was really negative influences. There was people that had an agenda and pushing agenda. And so I'm not saying that Hollywood shouldn't be stop from that, but at the same time, you know, the reality is if it wasn't for Hollywood, it'd be something else, you know, and sometimes we even are blaming Hollywood when it might be something much simpler that our kids are following after. They might be actually learning their behaviors off of us rather than maybe the movies that we think they're learning it from. And so really, you know, Hollywood does have an agenda. We do need to be mindful that this isn't pure entertainment. But at the same time, what I'm trying to focus on myself is that, you know, what can I do today to help my kids become less vulnerable? You know, I believe I can protect my kids from media and other threats by setting targets that I can reach and make an impact on. You know, have you ever gotten to the point that you're behind in a game, whether it's playing basketball, and you say, oh man, I better start making some points. And so you start shooting half-court shots that have a low probability of going in. And the more you miss from that, you know, the more you fall behind and the more shots you have to take from half court just to try to catch up. Where in the real thing is that, you know, the best way to win a game is to to shoot at shots that you can make, you know, high probability of making and making a bunch of them. I like that little game of skeet ball, you know, that you play with Chuck E. Cheese type stuff. You know, and really the consistency is the key for that sort of game. You know, make a shot that you can make. You know, if you keep going for the high rolling shot without the practice and ability to get there, you're just going to continue to get a low score. And so what I'm saying is that as a parent, you know, pick targets that you actually can influence and hit, rather than picking a target that's just kind of loose out there. You know, Hollywood isn't the target. The target actually has to do with things that we can impact and make a change on. And so I am using war language here because it is kind of a war, but I think it's important for us to kind of realize that, you know, we have to be strategic in this war. You know, we have to go after the enemy in ways that will really win the war rather than just make us feel like we're fighting. You know, so the first target that I'm really looking at, and this is something that I really encourage parents to consider, is the first target is that, you know, what we want to do is develop our allies. You know, so my target is becoming allies with my kid. You know, really trying to get to the point that we're on the same team rather than me working against them. So it's not Hollywood and my kid against me, it's me and my kid against Hollywood. And really that takes my kid understanding why I'm why I get the way I am, why I react certain ways when I start seeing patterns and habits. Why when certain thoughts are being planted into their head or when they're responding favorably to some really negative things, I start getting a little wigged out. You know, and the reality for our kids that they might not understand is that I think kids think that we're trying to ruin their lives, that we're trying to zap joy out of them. But the reality is that we're trying to get them surviving to adulthood, you know, to the point that they become great adults without a bunch of baggage and pain. You know, we want them to be able to interact positively with people around them. And so, you know, my goal is to launch you into adulthood ready to take on life as an adult. You know, rather than having all this baggage that's put on you, this negativity that's put on you by some of the media and what they'd like you to believe. And so, you know, really convincing our kids that we do have their best interest in mind. And that best interest really is a long-term best interest for them to thrive. You know, and I think it's also important for our kids to know what's our agenda. You know, that probably gets a lot more personal. You know, are we trying to win... have our kids win battles that we never won, you know, and that's kind of a touchy point there, you know, that realizing that maybe we're struggling with things that wish we would have handled differently when we were their age. And so now we're attempting to right our wrongs through their experience. You know, that's important to know, you know, what's my agenda? Why is it that I want my kid to be going through these things? You know, what I've found is that as I've been a dad and worked around teens is that it's been an experience that's forced me to grow deeper in truth and grace. And by that, I mean, I've had to, find that I've had to develop, much more structure in what I believe and why I believe. You know, when it's just me, I haven't had to kind of establish those things as much. And so I've really had to do some studying, you know, why do I believe this? Why is this important to me? And then I've really had to also, you know, both truth is there and I've had to extend in grace, you know, realizing that it's, you know, all of us fall short. You know, we make mistakes, we struggle. And so as a dad, I'm in a process, you know, with my kids. I think that's fair to tell them that is, you know, as a dad, I really want the best for you and I'm growing, I'm learning, you know, and as we go through this stuff, I'm realizing that what I surround myself with is important. You know, I see things clearer than I did maybe when I was your age. And so I want to be able to share that with you. And I also want to share this grace with you, you know, realizing that we make mistakes and stumble and that's a reality that we face. And so, you know, the process of becoming an ally with your kid, that takes time, you know, especially it takes time before the battle cultivating that. You know, little things that let your kids know that you're on the same team with them, that you understand. And allies really do come to the point that it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You both see the threat and you both band together to address that threat. What I tell kids a lot of the time, especially the kids that want to play video games, is that, you know, you better be in a partnership with your parents rather than oppositional. You know, if the video games are constantly an oppositional thing, it's really going to become something that you play less and less of. You know, your parents are going to try to take that away, But if you really make this a partnership thing, that you demonstrate trust, you demonstrate respect through it, then it's something that is not going to be as much of a fighting point with your parents. So hopefully that makes sense, is becoming allies with your kid. You know, the second target is really helping your kids build their defenses. And by that, I mean, is our kids are vulnerable. And in this battle against Hollywood, it's important for us to be able to help our kids build their shields, so that the messages of Hollywood, some of the negativity, some of the hype, doesn't go as deep into their life. And so really what I've found is the strongest way of building a defense is modeling it for them. You know, people worry about, you know, our kids are so susceptible. They just do everything their friends do. You know, they copy all their friends. And then we worry as parents that they copy the worst of our character. But you know, the good news is that they also copy the best of us. You know, it might not be totally evident, especially with your teen, but our kids do take a lot of their cues on what they can do. They learn how to process things by watching how we do it, and learning from that, more of what we do rather than what we say. And so our strongest defense that we can do is really, as parents, have our own defense, you know, and have a strong defense as far as when it comes to how media affects us, how we buy into the hype, how we question it, you know, how we interact with it in a way that is really appropriate. And so, you know, really model it. That's a key. You know, the second defense when it comes to helping our kids to build their own defenses is really open communication. Being able to talk about what they experience, what they see, especially their online experiences. Why is that character done that way? You know, it's interesting as you start taking a look at movies, you find that Hollywood does have a pattern to things. And so I'm being able to talk about those things. You know, what did you like about that movie? What did you like about that TV show, that song, whatever it is, and being able to talk through those things. Open communication means that we do a lot more listening than advice giving. And I don't know about you, but that takes that takes me nailing my mouth shut, because I love to talk and I love to share my viewpoint. And so really what I've been focusing on is, you know, just asking questions and trying to stay out of the way. You know, the third defense, and this is going to sound a little weird to you, but it really is that power of accepting reality. Rather than living in this dreamland, let me give you an example, is that I've accepted the reality that I get influenced by media. I can't listen to talk radio, especially some of the political stuff, because I find that I get pretty worked up, and a perfectly good day can turn into my attitude going down. How did I learn that? You know, by having these repeated times in which I couldn't figure out why I was angry when, you know, an hour before when I got in the car, I wasn't angry. And I realized that the only thing difference was that I had been listening to some of this stuff. And so I realized that I'm susceptible to what I hear and listen to. You know, that's a reality that I accept. I also accept this idea that there's things that we do that communicate safety or not safety. You know, having my kids being perfectionistic, being people-pleasing, creating an environment of lying, shame, distrust, you know, all these things will increase their vulnerability rather than decrease it. And so, you know, the reality is that there's some really good stuff coming out of Hollywood. There's some really negative stuff coming out of it, and all of it affects us. And so being open with that and helping your kids understand that they're affected by what they see and what they do. And so once again, that probably does come from modeling and open communication, but it's that point that we really need to make, is that we're impacted by it. So the first two targets, becoming allies and then helping my kids build their defenses. And the final is helping my kids develop an offense. I love that cliched, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. You know, when it comes to offenses, is that there are holes in our lives. And by that, I mean, is that all of us have woundings, all of us have, this world's a painful place, and so we've been wounded, we've been hurt by it. There's longings that we have that remain unfilled. And so that hunger's there. And so what I really am saying by this on the offense is if you help my kids feed their hunger through God's amazing ways, rather than through the cheap imitations of this world, it really will go a long ways to build their offense so that they don't have these these holes. And maybe that sounds like defense, but it really is an offensive process. It's a going after. It's a fulfilling hunger. And so realizing that we have these hungers and realize that there's ways of filling them. You know, one of the teachings that we do at each one of our seminars on pornography is really focusing on John 4:8, which is a guide for helping our thoughts, especially when they're under fire. You know, what it says in there is that we're supposed to focus on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And it says, think of such things. Think of these things. You know, most of us Christians really have no clue what this means. I mean, it's really pretty verses. It reads like poetry, but we don't put it into practice. Or when we do try to put it into practice, we try to make it some sort of holy list that's really unrelatable. And so we just think of all these biblical things that at least for me, they have quite a bit of disconnect from my everyday life. And so rather than focus on just biblical words and stuff, what I say is develop a list. And I encourage kids to do it. We've taught about it in several of our blogs. It happens in all our seminars. But really write down 3 or 4 of those words that really resonate with you and then make a list of it. I've got it on my phone. It's called My Thought Helpers. And what I've done is I've set up these key words, and then below that I've got everything from movies to activities that I like, scenes that I like, people in my life, memories that I have that remind me of those things. And so when I'm really getting under fire, when I'm feeling my brain isn't leading me toward purity, or my brain is leading me toward these really destructive thoughts, then I'll pick one of these words. You know, I'll pick something that says, something that is pure. You know, and I've got on my list, I go to pure, and I can look down and I can start thinking about those things. And I find that it doesn't necessarily take away the anxiety or the frustration or the vulnerability, but it eases it. And so I have, my mind is distracted from that moment for a while, and it's filled with something much better. And it kind of refocuses me. You know, that challenge is still there, but it gives me the strength to really move forward. And so really, you know, we can't control the long term of what our kids let into their mouths, but we can really train them with a skill set to combat that. And so really encourage you to spend some time with your kids looking at Philippians 4:8 and how you can put that into practice. You know, so what can I do to help my kids become less vulnerable to the things produced by Hollywood? I can set in these reachable targets and focus on them. The target of becoming allies, the target of building their defenses, and the target of building their offensive powers. You know, thanks for taking time today to listen to this podcast. Now for the long-awaited way to win a free copy of Undone by Michelle Cachette. There's really 2 options for you, and they involve Facebook or Twitter. And so either one of those that you want to do. If you're on Facebook, could you write this message? Thanks to @ProjectPatch. I'm hitting my target with my kids. So once again, that's thanks to @ProjectPatch. I'm hitting my target with my kids. Or if you're on Twitter, you can do the same thing. Thanks to @ProjectPatch. I'm hitting my target with my kids. Thanks to @ProjectPatch. I'm hitting my target with my kids. You know, could you do us a favor and help get the word out? What we're going to do is you know, having those tweets or those Facebook messages help. I'll compile them onto the list, and I'll randomly draw one for the winner of this book, and we'll send it to you. But could you also help get the word out by just sharing this podcast with your friends, subscribe to it on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, and then go online and on our blog, go out and use all the social media buttons up there and get it out. It really does a huge favor for us in doing that. You know, a couple other things just for your asking for favors. Project Patch is launching quite a few seminars right now, so we'd love to come to your local church. All it takes, especially if you're in the Portland area, is 60 to 90 minutes. You know, and if you can secure that, a room in your church and help us with some advertising, we'll come on out and we'll speak to topics that I think are really meaningful right now. And so we've got seminars on quite a few different topics. Most have to do with keeping your kids safe in this hostile world. So talking about pornography, video games, social media, some of those kind of things. And so we'd really love to be a part of your church. You can find more information by going to www.projectpatch.com and looking at seminars. The page there, and there's a lot more details. But hey, thanks for spending time with us. We really enjoy being a part of your life. And we wish you all the best. You know, it's hard to be a parent, but you can do it. Now go out there and connect with your kids. We can help at thefamilyexperience.org.